Amen. Amen. It is so good to see each of you this morning, and a lot more folks here than I realized. There for a bit, I wasn't sure, but you get up here and you look back, and it's so good to see everybody. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning, and thankful for the somewhat warmer weather that we've been having and what have you. So thankful for that, and did want to mention to remember Brother Ben in our prayers, and Lord willing, hopefully he'll get to come home tomorrow or Tuesday, and then also remember Brother Robert in our prayers with his upcoming procedure on April 3rd, and so we're trusting the Lord, and I want to make mention of those. And I wanted to say also, she's not here, so it's probably easier to brag on her a little bit, but I sure do miss Brandy. She's going to be gone a day or so here, and I'm finding sticky notes all over the house, and how to do this and how to do that and fix things and how to feed the dog. I'm like, when did we get a dog? All that kind of stuff. You know better than that. I think about it like this. We've talked about this many times, and it's something that I look back and I think, well, I didn't know the Lord was going to call me to preach those kind of things, but I think about her. I think about the night that we met and everything, and that's something, this isn't something that she signed up for. And she told me that several times throughout life and different things. But I tell you, it's amazing how God has used her in my life to help me with things. And I want you to know how much she thinks of and about you, the church. It's daily. Just different things about, making sure this is right, that is right, making sure meals and just all these different things. It's always running in her mind, and that's just kind of how she is. She's a list maker, and she checks those things off, but I want you to know she really appreciates you, and I want you to know how much I appreciate her. I just thank the Lord for her every day, and I wanted to make mention of that in missing her today, and again, just so much to be in prayer of. If you will, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter number 3. Ezekiel chapter number 3, I want to look at verses 16 through 21 primarily, but I'm going to actually start at verse number 1 and kind of read through here to get things started. This is something, I guess, the Lord laid the thought on my heart early on in the week, but I didn't have the scripture until yesterday. It's like that sometimes, and sometimes your thoughts doesn't necessarily align with the scripture and it changes your message entirely. But then there's times that the Lord will lay something on your heart and he'll give you explicitly the scripture to back it up. It's like he knows what he's doing. Amen. I trust in him. And there's times that I get to second guess of myself. I guess that's why sometimes I have backup messages, if you will, but that's my fault, not his fault, because he sends the message that he wants. And there's times that I've studied out messages and thought, well, Lord, I don't know. That might come across the wrong way or what have you. I'm always concerned about being misunderstood. And I think many of the men in the Bible were that same way because God reassures them several different times. He tells his men, you tell them what I tell you to say. Don't worry about all this other stuff. You just tell them what I want you to say. And I thank God for that confirmation. I tell you, coming to church and not being confirmed on a message is probably one of the most unnerving things I've experienced, because you always want to be in the will of God and be exactly where he wants you to be, delivering the message that he wants you to deliver. I've used it like this a lot with our Sunday school class. When we deal with our young people and we deal with our children, they always don't get to hear what they want to hear. But pray that they hear what they need to hear and what the Lord would have them to hear. And that's what it's about. Being a pastor, being a prophet, what you see here in the Bible is no different than that. But you're talking about a different time here in the Old Testament. This isn't talking about the New Testament church or a time like that. This is a time under the law. But I think you'll be able to see the parallels and how a lot of things have not changed. But we'll start reading these first 10 verses. We'll pray. We'll get started this morning. But this is the call of Ezekiel. It's his commissioning. It's when the Lord called him and how the Lord dealt with him. The Lord prepares people for the calling that he lays upon their life. That's always something that has amazed me, how those things come together. You might not see it on the front part of a person's life, but maybe on the second part, you see how it comes together. Verse number one, it says, "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak into the house of Israel. So opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel, and speak my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely I had sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Had I sent you into a foreign group of people, surely they'd have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, thy forehead strong against their foreheads, and an abundant harder of flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear in thine ears." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us, Lord. Just so good to feel the warm weather and just the last couple of days, God, just to experience some of that. Lord, we're just thankful for that. Lord, just it feels good to us, God, and just looking for better weather, Lord. And God, I know you hold all that in your hands. And Father, we pray for all those this morning that are not here with us, that are traveling, and those who are sick, God, and those in the hospital and just facing many different circumstances, God. We pray for them this morning. God, I pray for those who are here with us, Lord. It's so good to see them. I'm just so thankful, God, for those who faithfully come and attend and spend time with us, Lord, as we spend time around your word. We always want you to be the focus point, the central part, God, of everything that takes place here in our church. Lord, without you, nothing is possible. We cannot do anything within in and of ourselves, God. And I ask that you forgive me for my sins, Lord. Help me, God, to be the pastor you'd have me to be, Lord. And just help us, God. Help me to say everything you'd have me to this morning the way you'd have me to. Lord, we want you to be pleased. We just want to deliver, God, what you've laid on our hearts and the way that you've given it to us, Lord. How you work on us through the week and through the days, God. And we just want to deliver what you have for us. God, I pray for those that are lost. God, I pray you touch their hearts and help them. Lord, those that might be walking away from you, God, I pray for them this morning that you touch their hearts. God, help them to see their need also. I always pray and ask, God, that you keep a hedge around our church, keep us safe. Be with us, Lord, and again, be with those who are traveling today, God. Keep them safe. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, to give you a little back history, kind of how this is coming together, you think about the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. They were looking at a time of going into captivity, and Jeremiah was very soft-hearted toward them. He wept for his nation. His heart was broken because he knew where they were headed and what they were going into. And he was trying to lead and help even during that time going into captivity. But this time here, now being in captivity, in this group, they wanted to hear some good word. They wanted to hear some good news. Like, hey, we're getting out of this thing, right? We're going to be let out of captivity, right? And Ezekiel's telling them, well, we've got about at least 7 more years. And they didn't want to hear that. And that's what's kind of hard when you're talking to a group of people. And as you learn people, you might know what makes somebody happy, and you might know what makes somebody unhappy, and what could be easy to do is focus on the happy things. The thing about God's word that I found is that being a pastor, you're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God. That's a lot of counsel too. We heard about counsel in Sunday school, but there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on in the word of God, and you can't pick and choose what you preach. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You say, well, you've been thinking about revival and wanting to look at things along those lines, and you're like, how in the world could something like this get you to that? Well, that's how the Lord works. If our hearts are not right, we're not ready.
If we start getting our hearts right, then we are starting to get ready for what I would call revival, being brought back to life. But what you're seeing here is some hard teaching and some hard preaching, if you will, from Ezekiel, but it's what the Lord told him to tell. You know, Ezekiel could have probably approached this a few different ways and what have you. He said, well, you know, I'm going to have to water this down a little bit. People might just get mad. People might not listen to me. But the Lord was already ahead of him. The Lord was plainly, Brother Allen, telling him exactly how it's going. He knew how it's going to be. He knows from this day forward what you and I are going to face. I want to tell you, if you think, and this again, this ain't about me or nothing like that, but if you think pastoring in this day and time is easy, it's not. There's just a lot going on in the world, a lot of distractions, a lot of things that pull our young people and people away from the house of God, especially as the weather gets nicer. Sometimes the crowd gets slimmer. But I'm so thankful that you're here with us this morning. It's important to be here. It's important to see what the Word of God has to say to us. But number one of the things that you're going to see here about Ezekiel's commissioning is how the Lord sent His Word to him first. It says, moreover, He said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak into the house of Israel. And so open my mouth, and He caused me to eat that roll. And how a beautiful thing this is. You know, the Bible, the saying goes, you are what you eat. A lot of times if we fill ourselves full of junk, that's kind of how we're going to live. That's what we're living off of. I can tell a big difference if I've eaten a solid meal that's going to help me get through the day, or if I've eaten something just kind of junk food and you just rise and you fall really quick. In this day of consumption and consumption devices, that's what happens to us often. Very often we grab what's quick and easy off the internet, but we're not filling ourselves with the good food that the Word of God has. The first thing that you see the Lord doing for Ezekiel is tell him, eat this roll. He's saying, eat this scroll, eat the Word of God. You know, as we eat things, it becomes part of our bodies, good or bad. The good things or the bad things, it becomes part of our bodies. And if you want to be healthy, you eat healthy things, it will help you. It'll make you stronger. See, that's the way the Word of God is. It makes us stronger when we eat the good things of God. And then you think about the food. You know, sometimes the better things for you, the good things for you, don't taste as good as some of the bad things for you. That's just life. I thought about that this morning. You know, yesterday we went by a local line, had one of their little donuts, you know, probably shouldn't have, but it did. And then you start thinking about those things. Man, those are good, but it's not necessarily I just want to eat a handful of spinach in the morning, but that'd been better for me. You know, that's the way the Word of God is. Some of it is sweet, like it says here. You know, if you really fall in love with the Word of God, it truly is sweet as honey to you. It'll help you. It'll help you in the hard times. In the good times, it'll help you through it. I know we don't see it like that a lot, but number one, what you see is how the Word of God is telling Ezekiel here, the Lord is telling him, align yourself with the Word of God. Don't go out on your own, Ezekiel. You got to give what I say. You'll never see in his commissioning the Lord say, just tell them how you feel. Tell them what you think. It doesn't say that. It says, I'm going to give you what to tell them, and you just tell them that. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. You know, he was taking that in. There's times when I've been studying, you bring it in, and you take it in, and the Lord says, now share it with the congregation. That's what he was telling Ezekiel to do here. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Now you go and you tell them what I just told you. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. He said, I'm not sending you to some foreign country. I'm not sending you out of this nation to go to the outreaches, the outer parts of the earth, the uttermost parts of the earth and thing. He said, I'm sending you to your own people. You think, man, that makes it a lot easier. Well, I'll tell you this morning, I think a lot of times it makes it a lot harder. And you'll see why. Verse number 6 said, not to many people of strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. If I'd have sent you there, they'd have listened. Now, that's kind of heartbreaking, isn't it? Now, I think back to Moses and Pharaoh. And constantly the Lord said unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and tell him this. But he ain't going to listen to you. He's not going to listen. He's not going to hear what you say. He's not going to hearken unto you. He's not going to do what you say. And that's something that I see here. You know, and I heard it said this week. And I think sometimes I've experienced it. And I just want us to think about it. Just be honest with ourselves and think about it. Heard it said this week, the hardest group of people to preach to are the people in the pews in your churches. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? We hear things. We hear things, maybe perceive things, maybe get in our minds. I remember what it was like sometimes when I hear somebody preach and they call out the verses. I'm already kind of pre-planning in my head what the message is about, and just about have the message already played out in my head before the preacher even starts preaching. You know what that means? That means I predetermined what I was going to learn that day. Even if the Lord might have a different take on something that I hadn't heard before, in my mind I'm recounting what I'd heard in the past. Maybe not listening to what God has for me today. That's dangerous. God doesn't want us living in the past. His word is alive and it's living, and it goes with us through all generations. All generations. It's just that powerful. I find that something here. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. They would have listened. Now you think about Ezekiel and his mind. You think about Moses and his mind. You think about Noah. In his mind, when they were there preparing the ark, when they were there coming down off the from Mount Sinai, when they're coming down with the tablets, they're coming down to try to help people, and they're already told they're probably not going to listen to you. You know, I think about our young folks, and what an amazing Sunday school to have. I wasn't even anticipating being here for that, but to listen to it, a lot of times people not taking advice from the older ones, how important that is. But not taking advice from what the Word of God says. It's like you get a 50-foot stair sometimes. Boy, I tell you, it's so good to listen to godly advice. And see, what Ezekiel was sharing was what God had given to him. It wasn't his opinion. It's what the Word of God gave to him. And that's what counsel is all about. Not just thinking up something, you know, I tell you what, do. It wasn't like that. This is what thus saith the Word of God. And he was laying it out to him just like that. Now, this is what I thought was very interesting. These next three verses before we get on into the context, the message, and the title this morning is A Duty to Act. A Duty to Act. But verse number 7 says, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. He's saying, Ezekiel, don't take it personal. They're not going to listen to you, but guess what? They're not even listening to me. I tell you, there's times, you know, the Lord lays somebody on your heart, lay a message on your heart, and you really just think, oh my goodness, this is going to help that person. This is really going to reach out to them. This is going to speak to their heart, and they might not even be here. Amen. Then you think about somebody else, and they might be here, but you know what? They might be snoozing. Oh my goodness. That breaks your preacher's heart. That breaks your pastor's heart. You think about the council and the importance of being here. What would it be if we was asleep at the job? Would that be okay? This is the most important thing that we have, is the Word of God. I get excited about it. I really do. And then there's times I get anxious about it. There's times I get concerned about it. And there's times I get worried about it. But the Word of God says, you just tell them what I tell you to tell them, and then let it fall where it falls. That's something, isn't it? You say, man, that's being cold-hearted. It's not. One thing I've learned, being a police officer, being a parent, being a pastor, one thing I've learned, not everybody's going to listen. Nobody's going to listen. But I do have a duty to act. You Christians, you do have a duty to act. And that's what he is saying here, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They have gotten so far away from me that they are a hard-hearted group. Even though they're my people, they're still hard-hearted. I think sometimes we get to a place, even if we think that we are a member of a church in a church, that we're not accounted with that other group. Let me tell you, some of the hard-heartedest people are in churches. Self-righteousness comes into play. People maybe start tallying things up and counting it for righteousness when God does not count it for righteousness. We don't call a roll here. It's not about just saying present, present. What do you get when you're here? What do you put in while you're here? You know, if I went to a movie, Brandy gets on me all the time. I'll ask if we watch a movie. He's like, yeah, well, I did. You slept through it. I can be in the room while it's going on, but if I'm asleep while it's happening, I can't tell you what's going on. What if that was something that the Word of God was supposed to help you for that week? No, I kind of slept through it and I didn't get it. Well, it was preached. It was taught. I had somebody one time, he said, you know what? He said, man, it would be so good if we went through the church covenant. I said, brother, we did several nights. You weren't here. You weren't here. That's hard, isn't it? Well, it's just the truth. People think up ideas and think about things, and somebody take the time to study it out and do the work, and somebody just come up with this marvelous idea. We should do this. Well, we have been, and we do that. And we did do that. You weren't here for that. See, that's what's kind of interesting about this. As it goes on, you know, you see Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He was burdened, and I think a lot of times, that's how we think and see pastors, preachers are supposed to be. The prophets are supposed to be. Now follow me this morning. That's what you see. You see this humble, broken down person and just kind of dealing with life and what have you. But you're going to see something I've never seen before. Look at Ezekiel's commission. This amazed me. It said right here, he said, after all this here that they are impudent and they are hard-hearted, look at verses 8 and 9, what he says here is, behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead, fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Boy, that's kind of interesting. Bro Tim, you know what he said? He said, hey, you're dealing with a hard-headed group. Guess what? I made your head harder. Wow. That's different, isn't it? You ever heard about that? You ever thought that a prophet, preacher, is supposed to be hard-headed? They're supposed to be tender-hearted and kind of just take what comes, right? That's not what Ezekiel was told here. I mean, that amazes me. That amazes me. You look at it and you think you're trying to balance things out, and you don't want to offend people. You don't want to quench the spirit. You want things to be right. You want things to be good and all this kind of stuff. You deal with type A personalities, all this kind of stuff. But you, one of the things that God armed Ezekiel with, he said, guess what? You're going into a hard-headed group, but I'm going to make your head harder. I'm going to prepare you for that. I don't know how many times I told Brandy, I've talked to her, I said, I don't know. I said, this don't make sense to me unless I was kind of out on a limb and did my own thing for the first half of my year, half of my life, if you will, thinking about being in law enforcement, had it in my head I was going to retire out of that, and partway through, 20 years after that, I didn't retire out of it. And I'm like, why did God give me 20 years of law enforcement before going into pastoring? That was my boot camp, amen, amen. I believe that. Went to training several years ago. Out of the blue, this instructor told us, he said, guys, I'm just going to say this. This is for the Lord. Call me to preach. He said, I'm going to say this. You'll do one of three things. You'll stay in law enforcement, you'll be a truck driver, or you'll be a pastor. And I thought, well, isn't that something? How isn't that something? That stayed in my ears for many, many years. It's kind of how the Lord works. A lot of preparation in that. And I see what he's saying here. There's a lot of parallels that go in with that. And he's saying that this is going to be a hard-headed group, but don't worry. I have called you and I have prepared you to do what you're going to do. I think that might be a lot of times why some folks, some men of God, have decided to step away. And I don't know. I'm not calling out any names or anything like that, but I think sometimes people throw in the towel and say, I just can't do this anymore. What's the point? If they're not going to listen, what's the point? Here's the thing. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I'll tell you that for me personally. When God gives you a burden to call you to do something and he lays that on you in such a way that nobody can take that away from you, all you can do is depend on the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm here for you, however you want to do it. He says, you just tell him what I tell you to tell him. You just tell him. And he goes on to say, verse number 10, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart That's the preparation of a message that I find. And hear with thine ears. You have to hear it first. If you don't do it, if you don't live it, you can't preach it. That's what he's saying. That's very sincere, and that's very important. But there is a duty to act. And I want you to see these four things. I'll go through this quickly. I don't intend to take too long this morning, but I thought about this. Me and Brandy just talked about different situations and just thinking about things and just hoping and praying people are listening, people are applying. I've said it over and over. If we do not apply the Word of God to our life, then we're missing out on the whole blessing of it and what it says. You and I, Christians, people of the church, should not be afraid to take God at His Word. If He tells us, if you will do this, then I will do this, then we should be willing to do that. Amen. Whatever that is. You'd be surprised how a lot of times it's just not that way. Logic blocks the mind many times. But verse number 16, we'll finish out here, and it says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," I think maybe Ezekiel had been working through things in his mind. We're about 7 days later, worked through things in his mind. And he said, "Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." Listen to what I tell you, and you pass it along to them, the people. When I say to the wicked, you see, number one, the wicked, the lost person. The one that's not regenerate man. The one that's not accepting. The one that does not know God. The one that doesn't know Him. Then again it says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but at his blood will I require at thine hand." I liken this here to a preacher being afraid to go to somebody, or maybe already predetermining in their mind, in his mind, that this person is not going to listen to me. They're too far gone. They're too embedded in their sin, or whatever it is. I know what type of person that is, and they have it already predetermined in their mind that they're not going to listen to me, so I'm not even going. There's a duty to act. God says, I will require their blood at thy hand. You know how serious that is? You ever really think about that? I spent a lot of time thinking about that. It's kind of at the forefront of my mind. It's when you see things and people ask you questions, I feel a duty to act appropriately and give the right counsel, give biblical counsel, not just what I would do maybe in a given situation, but what does the Word of God say? If you don't spend time studying those things out, and there's a lot of things in life that happen, then you might not know it right offhand. You have to study those things out. It's extremely important. Could you imagine seeing somebody's face? Sister Kathy, you mentioned something to me the other night. You think about somebody's face that maybe that the Lord had laid on your heart to go to them and speak to them and tell them about how to be saved. And let's say for whatever reason you might not have done that. And let's say that person does not accept Christ. And one day you face the Lord and He says, remember that time? I really wanted you to witness to them. You were the one person that could have reached them. But you thought in your mind, in your lack of faith, lack of trust, whatever it is, you thought in your mind that you couldn't reach them. And that was my purpose for you. And you missed it. You see, I think about stuff like that all the time. People at work, people at school, just all over the place. People that I've talked to in the past and witnessed to in the past. And you can kind of see the wheels turning. How important it is to stay with that. He's saying, if you do not go and you do not tell them, then I'm going to require their blood on your hands, is what it's saying. I tell you, if we don't have a burden for people, it might be easy to kind of pass over, but one day it won't be. Think about standing before Christ and what that's going to look like. I tell you, that should be a sobering thought. He's saying, I will require, if you do not warn them, I will require their blood at your hand. But verse number 18, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not the warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Verse 19, "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." You did what you were supposed to do. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have felt like the Lord has led you to do something, to go to somebody? And how often do you kind of argue it back and forth in your mind? Do I have time? Are they going to listen to me? I don't want it to be awkward. We work together. I don't want to get in trouble at work. All these different examples, all these different things come into our mind. What the Word of God is saying here, don't be afraid of those things. You go to who I send you to, and you tell them what I'm telling you to tell them. It's that straightforward. That's what he's saying. I think in the day-to-day life and what we do, I think a lot of times one-on-one witnessing is probably one of the most productive ways of soul winning today. I believe that. You hear about it. People at home and other places accepting the Lord because somebody went and told them. Somebody went to them and told them about it. And that's what he's saying here. You do that, you be obedient, and that is what will happen. Your soul will be delivered. Now look at verse number 20. And I find this extremely interesting. You know, that's one of the things I remember. I thought about it. I've said this many times. I think other people have too, working in law enforcement. And it's probably this way in other workplaces. But you know, when you have a lot of type A personalities, yeah, you're dealing with a lot of things like that. I remember a time when we were talking about things. You expect the bad guy to be bad when you're in law enforcement. You expect that. You're looking for that. You're front-facing that. What gets me sometimes, too, when people are trying to climb the ladder and the rank ladder and all this kind of stuff, a lot of times the hardship will come from within the inside. And that's a hard thing to deal with. That's what I thought was interesting about this. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness, he's talking about those within the house of Israel, the ones that are on the inside. I count that as you and me here this morning. The ones that's on the inside is what he's talking about. Turns away from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him. He shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Again, this is talking about a time when it was under the law, but it's in the Word of God for a reason. He shared this with us for a purpose that we could see it and understand it. He's talking about going to the people within the church and going to them. I think it's like this, sidestepping things. Well, this might offend this brother and I don't want him to quit coming, or this sister might get upset about this. No, he said, you tell them. If your preacher ain't going to tell you what's right and wrong, who's going to tell you? He said, you tell them. Because what he's saying, you look at how the Lord works. He doesn't play favorites like that. His righteousness supersedes anything like that. You see, he's holding his people accountable just like he's holding the other people accountable that we just read about. He said, and I will lay a stumbling block before him and he shall die. The Bible teaches about a sin unto death. But because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. Would it not be the better goal to try to go to somebody and help them correct something while there is time? You know, I think about it like this a lot. When you have, the whole counsel of God, you can't just focus on the things that make you feel good or the things you like and neglect the things that you don't. Or you're not really doing it. That goes for every single one of us. There is absolutely nobody that is immune from that. Either we take the whole counsel and we follow it, or we're not. And I believe to be a New Testament church, I believe to be a true follower of Christ and be doing what He would have us to do, we're supposed to do all the things that He told us to do, just not part of them. That's a whole lot. Well, I tell you, he made it simpler in the New Testament. Praise God that we're not under the law and what it was like then. But I think it's that important. I think we have a duty to act. He's saying here, he's not saying that it just ends at the grave. I will require their blood at your hands. Anything good about this man that he had done in his life will be gone. You don't go to him. You don't warn him. Anything good that he might have done, and he died in his sin, it'll be gone. It will be remembered no more. Wouldn't that be something to see somebody live a life up to a point doing some good things and fall and commit iniquity and fall out of that and then nobody go to them and try to help them? Wouldn't that be sad? But the problem about today that I find the most is people get offended, people get feelings hurt, and then people get afraid to try to help them anymore. Well, I don't want them mad at me. I'll tell you this, I'd rather somebody be mad at me for me trying to do the will of God than for somebody to be able to look at me one day and say, why didn't you tell me? You think about a spirit of love. I tell you, I've got some friends, and I thank God for it. I got some friends that are strong enough to come to me, Brother Tim, in love. Say, hey, you might be kind of missing this right here. Come to you in love and tell you, hey, you might want to rethink this thing because this is what's happening in your life, and I want to help you. If somebody out of love comes to you and tries to help you, they love you more than you realize. The easiest thing is to turn around and say, I don't want to get involved. And the hardest thing as a pastor is to hear of hardship and hear of things going on, but then at the same time not seeing a person take a step forward to try to make things right. But here's the thing. You know, you look at the accountability part of it, the duty to act of it. Look at verse 21, and I'm closing with this. It says, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, if you go to that person, you go to that congregation, you're in the church, and whatever it is, you're laying out the whole counsel of God, and if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous man sin not, you say, hey, I think you might be messing up right here. I think we might need to change things right here. I think we might need to do it this way, and then give verses. How can any of us argue with the Word of God? It's not, hey, I think we ought to do this or I think this. But if you go and you have verses in Scripture that says this is why I think we're supposed to do that and it's backed up out of the Word of God, who can argue with that? Who can argue with that? And I think that is when you should have some kind of a time together, that fellowship coming together, that the righteous sin not and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. You know, that's the best outcome that you can have. I think that is probably one of the best definitions or maybe illustrations of how church counseling is supposed to work, even though it's in the Old Testament. I think that is an amazing illustration of how that's supposed to work. You work together. You come together around God's Word, whatever the situation may be, whatever decision it may be. And you lay it out and say, what thus saith the Word of God, and this is what he says. This is what he says to do. How can any of us argue with that? How can any of us not want to do that? You know, being a watchman is a very serious thing. And that was a big thing in the Old Testament. You see in the kingdoms that were talked about in the Old Testament, those who stood watch and kept watch, that's a very important thing. And it's much like what a pastor does this day and time. But one of the things I've thought about this, and Saul, you know, I cannot, I've not arrived. I'm not perfect. I need your prayers and I want your prayers every day. The watchman needs your prayers. Watchman gets tired. He's the one standing guard is what you see here. But I tell you, I need your prayers. I can fall just like anybody else. Anybody. And I need your prayers. But I tell you what is very hard about this is I don't want it to be that I told you so. Well, I told you so. Whatever happens, it ain't like that. I love you, and I want the very best for you, and I want you to know that. I know we as a church has been through a whole lot and everything like that, but I want you to know I care about you, and I love you, and I want the very best for you, your kids, and for you. I want that, and I want to see our church be exactly what God wants it to be. It's amazing. It's amazing to see what he's done. It's amazing to think about and look forward to what he can do. But you and I, we have a duty to act. We really do. I'll leave you with that thought. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll ask the ladies to come. Father, we thank you again for this day that you've given to us, Lord. Thank you so much, God, for those who are here with us today. God, always pray and ask that your will be done, that we follow you as a church, God, the way you'd